Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, or wherever you download us from. Thanks very much for downloading us. This is You, the Owner Manual Podcast 982B. The bees are always a great guest, and we have one today for you. James McKenney is director of the Mother Baby Behavioral Sleep Lab at the University of Notre Dame. At least he has been for 22 years. And has written a book called Safe Infant Sleep, Expert Answers to Your Co-Sleeping Questions. Actually, that's the way you can get in touch with him as well, www.cosleeping.nd for Notre Dame, .nd.edu as in education. Dr. McKenna is a PhD and has changes from the American Academy of Pediatric Recommendations about sleeping with a baby that are very important. We ought to consider them seriously. That's what's written about in the book. And there's a lot of experience, obviously, since he directed the co-sleeping or the sleeping lab at Notre Dame, the mother-baby behavioral sleep lab at the University of Notre Dame for 22 years. I should tell everyone, we are brought to you, as usual, by Persona Nutrition. They're the sponsor of our show. And if it's the one thing I know, whether it is mothers or children or just us usual people that is not pregnant and not having a child under the age of four, that you want proper nutrition and health as well. And sometimes understanding what vitamins and supplements to take can be confusing. That's why our Persona Nutrition comes in. They have a personalized supplement recommendation that you can get by taking the free assessment at mypersona.com. Mypersona, P-E-R-S-O-N-A.com. And with Persona Nutrition, you can get those personalized recommendations. By the way, when you take your free assessment, you can also talk to a nutritionist at that for free. And by the way, if you on your first order, if you go to mypersona.com/Roizen, R-O-I-Z-E-N, you can get 50% off on your first order. But today, we have a special guest who's not talking to us about nutrition, but is talking to us about sleep and co-sleeping and how you should do sleep with your child. Dr. McKenna, thanks very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Roizen. Glad to be here.
Now, talk to us about, I understood that sleeping with a child in the bed with you was somewhat dangerous. Is that true, or is that the best way? And what about the at least in Cleveland now, I'm at the Cleveland Clinic, and at Cleveland now, everyone is getting gets a crib or a crib box to make sure their child sleeps separately from them. Talk to us about what is co-sleeping and what does it do for the child?
Mother-baby co-sleeping is the default human universal position for infant sleep. Infant sleep, in the sense of the biology of it, really cannot be explained without reference to breastfeeding, because, as you know, our evolutionary history, et cetera, and our really actually recent history has always been that mothers, in one way or another, however diverse, have been sleeping next to their baby and breastfeeding through the night. It's the only way our species would have made it and permitted us to have this conversation today. But co-sleeping refers basically to the fact that a mother giving the baby breast milk is a behavior that requires her to be present. We have 81% of our moms leaving the hospital breastfeeding their babies, and of that amount, depending on what percentage you want to take, 40%, 60%, 70% or 80%, they're all sleeping on the same surface with their babies. And that's because the biology of what I call breast sleeping, that's breastfeeding your baby in the context of same surface co-sleeping or separate surface co-sleeping in the absence of hazardous factors.
Tell us what you mean by same surface or separate surface.
Well, co-sleeping comes in a lot of different forms around the world, probably as many as there are cultures doing it, which means there's thousands of cultures, if that's the universal. So separate surface simply means you have your baby relatively within arm's reach so that you can, the important criteria for co-sleeping is that both the mother and baby have access to each other's sensory signals, such as vision and hearing and touch and smells, so that the mother has the opportunity to respond to the baby and the baby has the opportunity using these sensory exchanges, which our babies depend on for regulation of their bodies, is possible. Our human infants are born with only 25% of their brain volume, and as such, their systems, respiration, cardiovascular, digestive, of course, locomotor, are completely immature and undeveloped. Being next to the mother is not just a nice social idea. It becomes and regulates the baby's physiology, everything from heart rates to blood pressure to hormonal levels to the sleep architecture itself, how babies arouse, how many minutes they spend in different stages of sleep. All depends on that microenvironment, and human infants require and need for optimal health, that regulation, and of course, the delivery of that remarkable, perfect food, breast milk. And to get it, you also get this delivery by virtue of the mother, of this incredible suite of physiological signals to the baby.
Dr. McKenna, in addition to breastfeeding, you talk about co-sleeping and bed sharing. So I want to get into that. I don't think anyone would say that breastfeeding is controversial. It's what everyone advocates if you can do it.
Sure.
But talk to us about the co-sleeping is a controversial part of your book. And the book we should tell our audience is called Safe Infant Sleep. And you can find out, by the way, more about it both on Amazon, but also www.cosleeping.nd.edu. So tell us about co-sleeping and why that's controversial.
It's controversial because, well, it's inherently beneficial for mothers and babies to co-sleep because that's what our species does. And in a recent industrialized Western society, you have a lot of cofactors that can take that otherwise safe arrangement and survival-related arrangement and make it dangerous. One way it can become dangerous if mothers smoke during their pregnancies because it diminishes the abilities of babies to arouse, to terminate breathing pauses or what's called apneas. So a mom that would have smoked during her pregnancy, having the baby sleep in bed with her would be less safe than having the baby sleeping alongside on a different surface. So bed sharing is, in the sense of how it is done, is the determining factor that is important for understanding outcomes. And then the reason
what about the mother rolling over on the baby or a father rolling over on the baby? At least I've heard that is problematic. Is that problematic, or how do you prevent that?
No. You prevent it by deciding how to do it safely. I encourage mothers that are not breastfeeding to think about having their babies on a separate surface, right by the bed, but not necessarily in the bed, because breastfeeding mothers are awakening frequently. They spend much more time in lighter sleep rather than deeper sleep, and so does the baby. The baby is in lighter sleep because she's feeding so frequently, about every 2 hours or 2.5 hours. Where the baby is in the bed, it's safer. It's under the mom's arm, chest level. Mom arches her body around the baby. The physiology is different. It's much more beneficial and protective of the babies when the breastfeeding is involved. Bottle feeding situations change what goes on in the bed.
No, I'm still talking about breastfeeding. So talked about a sidecar arrangement where the baby is right alongside the bed.
That's co-sleeping. That's co-sleeping. It's not bed sharing, but it's co-sleeping. The problem is, Dr. Royson, is that the babies, when they're particularly breastfeeding, they navigate themselves to be as close to the mother as they possibly can. moms get more sleep, babies get more sleep. So what's happening is our moms are leaving the hospital unsupported in terms of not being educated to how to bed share safely, and even unexpectedly and unplanned, guess what happens? The baby ends up not any longer in the sidecar, which was planned, but right next to the mother. So it's important that the moms learn how to do it as safely as possible. But your comment about rolling over. Well, of course, anything with babies and any way you deal with them, things can happen. But you don't begin with a pathology to describe its remarkable benefits when it's done safely and when it's connected with breastfeeding. Moms maintain.
So, you know, this is what are some of the tricks in doing it safely? In other words, we're talking about both bed sharing, which is in the same bed, or sidecar, where they're in a crib right alongside, or different beds in the same room, or the child welcomed into the parent's bed as needed, which is what we did in bringing up our kids. So I guess what I'm interested in is, how do you do this safely?
Okay.
What are some of the tricks?
Some of the tricks are the following. One, you know how to do it safely, and that means keeping other children out of the bed, not putting babies near pillows, not using big heavy duvets that could flip over on the baby's head, putting your babies always on its back, not bed sharing if you smoke during your pregnancy. Did I mention keeping children out of the bed? Yeah, I think I did. The tricks are to make a decision for yourself. You don't roll out of the bed typically. You maintain a level of consciousness and you decide that that is your role. You're in bed with your baby. You're responsible for it. Similarly for fathers. When you make that mental acknowledgement, that kind of sign you see sometimes on cars, baby on board, well, you need to make a decision, baby in bed. And when you do that, you are extremely sensitive to what that baby is up to and what it's doing. And you don't sleep the same way. It's a little bit like what happens to you when you have to catch a really, really early plane at 4 and you're afraid that you're going to maybe oversleep. You probably won't have as nice a sleep. That's because you're attending to the environment and what you need to do. Don't forget that it's important for arousal, for parents and all of us to be able to arouse quickly, as it is important for us to sleep. Oftentimes throughout our evolution and our history, we had to evacuate and get out of a particular place to sleep because it became dangerous. So quick arousals and the ability to monitor your environment while you're asleep, it's always been part of the biological repertoire of human beings. So this notion that it's inevitable, oh my gosh, you're high risk if you just sleep next to your baby, that's scientifically unsupportable. The fact that it can happen does not mean that it should happen or would mostly happen, if at all.
More of You, the Owner's Manual, coming right up. But let's take a moment to talk about your health. Dr. Roizen will tell you that a common question he gets asked often is what vitamins he likes, what he recommends. Without knowing more about their needs, that question used to be almost impossible to answer. Now, however, it's easy. Go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and take your free assessment. It's a smart and easy way to get personalized supplement recommendations. The Persona Assessment is backed by the latest nutritional research and the expertise of Persona's Medical Advisory Board, which consists of 8 nutritionists, a pharmacist, and 5 medical doctors, including Dr. Michael Roizen. All the latest scientific data and nutritional research put into one supplement program personalized for you. Just take the 5-minute assessment to get your free recommendations based on your goals, lifestyle, allergies, special diets, and prescription meds. Convenient vitamin packs are delivered to your door each month. Whether you want to sleep better, have more energy, or simply stay as young as you can, go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and get 50% off your order today. Half off now at personanutrition.com/Roizen. That's R-O-I-Z-E-N.
Now, you also talk about in the book not swaddling your baby if you're going to do bed sharing, and also to make sure that if you have long hair, it's tied up so it doesn't become wrapped around the baby's neck. Talk to us a little bit about swaddling, because I've heard so much about its benefits. You're talking about a risk of swaddling.
Before I do that, though, can I just add one thing that should have been said right away, and that is that alcohol and drugs, being desensitized by drugs, are totally incompatible. And though that is one of the the significant factors, aside from babies sleeping on couches or sofas, which is very, very dangerous when you're doing it with somebody. But also, of course, alcohol and drugs changes the whole safety margins for any child, and certainly that bed sharing or same surface co-sleeping in whatever form shouldn't take place. But the reason I don't like swaddling is it doesn't permit the baby's arms to kind of protect itself, and brushing away blankets or brushing away items. You'd be amazed at what the responses babies can make. They're not little protoplasmic blobs lying there waiting to be suffocated. They have their own internal mechanisms, even though they are born so relatively undeveloped, that permit them to make noises and to actually signal if there's compression on them or something is hurting them. There was a study once done in the 70s where they put cellophane over newborn babies' faces, if you can believe it, and watch their reaction. There wasn't anything these babies didn't do, kicking, moving their heads back, opening their mouths, batting their heads against the bed to such an extent. Now, keep in mind, these are newborns, to such an extent that the two individuals investigator says it takes two people to hold that baby down. This is a newborn baby, so I'm not trying to say everyone should, you know, expect that if they lay on top of their baby will be okay. But I'm just trying to kind of remind you that babies also, for a sober person, as many have argued, and committed to that baby, sensitive and made a decision to be, there should really not be a baby that is overlaid in the sense that we tend to think of it. Obviously, accidents can happen. I'm not saying it's impossible. But of course, putting a baby on a changing table has led to many babies having fractured skulls, but we don't end, you know, changing tables. And obviously, when we put babies in cars, we go to great extremes to keep them protected. And these are the things that you could do.
We're talking with Dr. James McKenna, who directed the Mother Baby Behavioral Sleep Lab at the University of Notre Dame for 22 years. The book he has written, Safe Infant Sleep. You can find out more about this at www.cosleeping.nd.edu. The ND is for Notre Dame. The whole program, You the Owner's Manual program, is brought to you by Persona Nutrition. They actually have a personalized nutrition assessment that you can take for free at mypersona.com. You can go to mypersona.com and take that free assessment. It's actually fun. And you can get personalized supplements just like the Scientific Advisory Board members do. I'm one of those Scientific Advisory Board members. And if you go to mypersona.com/Roizen, R-O-I-Z-E-N, that's me, you get 50% off on your first order. We, as I said, are talking with, on this is our 982nd B podcast, 982nd B. The B's are always guests. And this is Dr. James McKenna, who has written a book called Safe Infant Sleep. And he has a lot of data about bed sharing, co-sleeping, and what is safe for the baby. And there's some differences between what he advocates and what the American Academy of Pediatrics advocates. We've tried to bring those out as well. So let's talk a little bit about, if Dr. McKenna, about the co-sleeping and when you stop that. In other words, when do you put the child in their own room, or at least in a separate surface from where you are, and at what age that occurs at, and is that important, or is there a set age for doing that, or and how do they go to sleep in that setting if they've been in the co-sleeping arrangement before that?
Well, first of all, there really is no developmental marker. It just depends on what the nature of the relationship brought to bed means to the parent. If everybody's happy with it, most people in the world never sleep alone. They always sleep in the room with others. The function of co-sleeping changes with the age of the child. At first, it's very physiological, regulating the baby's systems itself. Later, it becomes more cognitive, and the children are able to put meaning on it. And actually, strangely, the reason that there's a tendency for there to occur more co-sleeping as children get a little bit older and realize there can be dangers in the world or scary pictures that they saw during the day is when they are able to, you know, exhibit fear and become afraid. So that's probably why most human beings, as I speak today, are all sleeping, not just with their babies, but with their children throughout their childhoods. Now, that's something that I guess culturally we can make decisions about, but I can guarantee you that the research that's been done shows that long-term co-sleeping, as long as everybody is happy with the nature of the relationships brought to bed to share, it's absolutely not only not detrimental, but it actually has positive effects psychologically, like stronger gender identities, more comfort with affection, less temper tantrums from their 2-year-olds, and able to be alone more and make friends and learn to tie their shoelaces faster. But be prepared. Development of sleep in children and babies included, of course, is not linear. A lot of parents get lulled into thinking, oh my gosh, my baby's 3 months, he's sleeping through the night. But 3 weeks further along, the baby won't be sleeping through the night because of these tremendous psychological cognitive changes that come with age. So even though I'm saying to you that there are all these wonderful positive things that can be associated when healthy relationships find expression in the bed, babies getting more of what's already good during the day, essentially, there are, reasons why for any given family constellation, parents, you know, might want more intimacy, etc. But it's really what is determining the benefits of it is the nature of what's going on, not just during the night, but what's going on during the day. So on one hand, I'm happy to give you the kind of what we know at this point, much needs to be learned, but long-term effects of co-sleeping when it's done healthfully. But keep in mind, it isn't just sleep location that's determining these other attributes of children. It's the nature of the relationship that's going on a 7/24 basis. And as I mentioned, if it's a bad relationship at night, children are getting more of what's already bad, but hopefully that's not in most cases. But when it's good, you know, it affirmation is given to the children and loving relationships are developing, the baby or child just gets more, as I said, of what already is good during the day.
So we should say that co-sleeping can be done in several ways, that is, in the same right. surface or in the same bed, in a sidecar arrangement, securely attaching a crib to one side of the parent's bed next to the mother, different beds in the same room, or
right.
the child is welcomed into the parent's bed as needed. We've been talking with Dr. James McKenna, who directed the Mother Baby Behavioral Sleep Lab at the University of Notre Dame for 22 years, and you can get more information at www.coSleeping.ndfornotredame.edu. And as usual, this has been sponsored by Persona Nutrition. This is podcast number 982B. You'll want to listen to 979B. That was James Lehr, president of the Parkinson's Foundation, talking about what to do when you have a diagnosis or suspect a diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. 980B, Neil Barnard, Your Body in Balance, talking about hormones. And one of my favorites, Ken Druck, Raising an Aging Parent, Guidelines for Families in the Second Half of Life. That was 981B. I've got to also mention two of my all-time favorites. 947B was Catherine Eban, Bottle of Lies, The Inside Story of the Generic Drug Boom. And 948B, which is Marwan Sabah, Fighting for My Life, talking about protecting yourself from developing dementia and all the ways you can do that. Those have been brilliant. Again, mypersona.com is where you can find an assessment of your nutrition and find out what you're missing or not. mypersona.com. Thanks, Dr. McKenna, for coming on. And thanks, of course, to Joe and Luis for great engineering on You, the Owner's Manual podcast. We'll be back next week with another A segment, 981A it'll be. Actually, 983A. Sorry, we just did 982B. So next week is 983A and B. News of the week is always the A segment and what it means to you. The B, a wonderful guest, as was James McKenna, Safe Infant Sleep, this week. Thanks again for downloading us.